Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our text for this Sunday of the Holy Trinity is a dual text again. The first part of it is taken from the book of Genesis, and we will read all of chapter 1 and then the first four verses of chapter 2. Then we will also read the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. So it's Genesis 1 through 2, 1-1 through 2-4, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, where we read in the name of our Lord. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth also after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Then continuing with the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, starting at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we thank you for this, your word, the one thing that can give us understanding. And we pray, Father, that even this day, you would grant us that understanding as we, Father, seek your revelation. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Now you're going to sing the same tune that I sang before as the last hymn today. But the reason why I sang that song was basically because of the last verse. Because we need to understand this reality of what God has done. That on the last day, we will be dressed in his righteousness alone. And we will stand faultless before his throne. You see, the summation of the triune God is to understand what we can understand. And that's why we also, the reading for today was actually 2 Corinthians 13, but I switched it to 1 Corinthians 13 to understand. Paul says very clearly, now we only know in part. He says, we don't understand. We don't fully know. In fact, we don't know diddly squat. And that's just putting it nicely. But we think that we do. And what Paul was pointing out was to understand that we don't know anything. We don't really understand or know. We can only see things partially. And we try to create a picture of the whole out of something that's in part. But you understand very clearly that doesn't work. And this is why Paul said this. To understand what we need to know about the Trinity is that God loves us. You see, I always say, I tell my confirmands this to make them feel better. Because I always have people tell me, well, you need to make those kids memorize all this stuff and things like that. And my first inclination to the people who tell me that is I want to hear them tell me, well, tell me then what's the meaning of the second article. Because I love that fact that people will say, well, you should make those kids learn that. And then I ask them the question, they don't know it. So why am I supposed to make those kids learn that? You don't want to learn it. And actually, if I handed out exams on the Trinity, you'd probably all be burnt at the stake. Because we make these ridiculous statements about the Trinity that are just wrong. We use these weird analogies that in the ancient church would have just got you in a lot of trouble. Because we don't understand the Trinity. We can't. Now we know in part, Paul says. He says, then it will be face to face. But what we can know is that the triune God loves us so much that the triune God loves us to such a degree that he gave us his Son to redeem us, to shed his blood on Calvary's cross, and to rise on the third day, and to take us with him, to lift us up to newness of life. And as a testimony of that, he gave us himself, the indwelling Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would testify to the fact that we are indeed the children of God, that we would know it, and that we would live in that way. Now, I love when this text comes up in the scripture, because it's really an amazing text, and we don't know anything about it. You got all these people that try to write these books on creation and all this kind of stuff. How do they know? I used to have a student. He was the only one I had that was older than I am. So people would say to me, you know, what do you think Moses was thinking when he did this? And I said, I don't know. You have to ask him. You know, you have to ask people who are older. Nobody was around for this stuff. What we know about creation is about nothing. And people have made up all kinds of stuff. Instead of understanding, this is not a blueprint for creation. God did not turn around and say, ha ha, one day I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have a mammal? And what if I stick a duck bill on it? And give it a flat tail? You know, it's like Gary Larson, you know, I don't know if you ever read Far Side, but he does some of the best stuff, you know, ever. So he took like this, like showed God with just this bright light and these hands rubbing something together, you know, out of clay, like Play-Doh, and putting them on a bench. And then they look like snakes. And he says, these things are easy. You know, we don't know how God ever did anything that he made, because that's not really the point. It actually starts out here talking about that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he says, and actually the Greek rendering of this makes this a little clearer than the Hebrew. It says very clearly that the earth was invisible. It wasn't seen. It couldn't be seen is literally what it says. It was unseeable. And he says, and it had no shape. But the earth existed, but it wasn't seeable. And it had no shape. Now, how does that work? You know, we can't even delve into something like that to begin to understand it. And then he turns around and he brings out this great thing, which is the thing I really want to emphasize. He says that the darkness was upon the face of the deep, which means water. The deep. It's a term in Hebrew that refers to the depth of the sea. And that the Spirit of God was moving upon the waters. And you recognize that in here it says that God made a firmament to divide from the waters that were above and the waters that were below. Now, you explain that to me. No human being can explain that. And they fall all over themselves trying to do it. Because this is not a blueprint for creation. That's why I read through chapter 2, is to understand, he says, this is just how the heaven, the sky, and the earth were created. That's all. God doesn't tell us how he made the Andromeda galaxy. He doesn't talk about anything like that. He's only talking about our earth and our sky. That in the day that he created those things. And this is why everything is representative of what goes on here in the earth. Because the whole point of this was not for God to try to explain how he did everything to us. It was to understand that he's our God who created us and who loves us. And he made us to be in his very own image. He gave us his reflection, is what that means. That we would have his reflection. And this is the point of this, is that water was the first principle. It's very interesting if you read Thales, which I'm sure you don't, because Thales was a pre-Socratic Greek philosopher. And we don't really, I don't think, have his works. We just know them through Aristotle and other of the Greek philosophers. But Thales said very clearly, way back, like 400-some BC, he said that water is the first element. And you wonder, how do you ever understand that? Because this is exactly what Genesis 1 says. Water was the first element. And it says that from this, God created the heavens and the earth. Because water is generative. And he actually says that it constituted. The earth came forth out of the water. In the term that's used in Greek, it's very interesting. St. Peter uses the same term almost as Thales, as he describes it in 2 Peter 3:5. He says that the earth, he says, and the King James translates this like stood out of the water, but that's not what it means. It means that the earth was constituted of water. And it came through water. That God did all of this. And God did all of this out of his grace. That God did this. God set this up in a way that human beings cannot understand. And God never gave us a blueprint to understand it. Because we can't. But he gave us Jesus. And you understand that as the Spirit was moving over the face of the waters, he was actually brooding over the face of the waters. And you recognize when you start to read this that when Jesus was baptized, what happened? He went into the water. He came up out of the water. And the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Because that's the regeneration of creation. And St. Peter says that all of this took place through the Word. And John, in the first part of his gospel, he tells us that Word was with God. And not one thing was created that was not created through that Word. So that we understand God baptized us. He raised us up out of the water. And he gave us new life through Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God dwells upon us. The Spirit of God is constantly with us. The Spirit of God is constantly in us. So that we would understand that this is the recreating work of God. And Jesus is, as St. Irenaeus says, he is the recapitulation of the creation. He's the recapitulation of the human race. So that we would understand that God, in the greatness of his grace, he simply gave this to us through Jesus Christ. That by his grace, he would receive us and he would mark us out as his own in baptism. He would raise us to newness of life. And that's why we have Matthew. And at the end of Matthew, he just simply says this very clearly. After he's raised from the dead, he has breathed upon them and he has given them the Holy Spirit. So that they are now to understand that they are filled with this same Spirit And if they are filled with that same spirit, he then says very clearly, they went to Galilee later, and this is all part of this deal. They met him just as he had said. Even when they saw him, some of them doubted. But Jesus said to them, all power is given to me in heaven and the earth, in everything that I have created. He says, all of that power is now in me. He says, it's all in me. The creation has been reconstituted. It has been brought forth again. Jesus went down into the water. He came up out of the water. The Holy Spirit came upon him in order to indicate very clearly that now the restoration of everything had taken place. And he says, and all of this power, all of it, he says, is now mine. He says, it's now mine. And you remember when he first breathed on the disciples, he says, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And he says here, you go then. He says, you go. And you, actually this word in Greek is, you disciple all nations. And that's what he says. He says, you disciple all the nations. He says, you bring them all in. He says, that's all I'm asking you to do. Don't waste your time making yourself more spiritual. You can't. Don't spend your life trying to wallow in your old sins and feel bad about them and think that somehow that's going to make you more righteous. You're not. It's not. He says, go. He says, and you disciple all the nations. He says, you bring them all in. He says, you bring them all in. And he says, and you do this one thing. You baptize them. You baptize them. You bring them in through the water, just as the initial creation was done. You bring them in through the water. And through the water, he says, you do this in the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who has reconstituted all things. And he says, and you teach them. You teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. See, what we need to understand is the last few words of that song that I sang. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There is no other refuge. You can't look inside and find a way to make yourself better. It ain't going to happen. And you can't undo what's past. And you don't have to. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all iniquity. All iniquity. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all iniquity, so that now, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we make our stand. We stand dressed in his righteousness alone by grace. We live fully and completely by his grace, because he chose to restore us. He chose to recreate. He chose to give us life. We chose death. He chose life. And this is why at the end, Jesus doesn't have to explain anything to his disciples. He just tells them. He says, you just do what I said. Just do what I said. Which is one of the greatest things. You know, you have that parable where the disciples are wandering around saying, Lord, give us more faith. You know, if we're going to do this stuff where we're supposed to forgive our brothers and things like that, we need more faith. Jesus tells them this great parable. He tells them about this guy. He says, which of you, if you got a servant, he says, who of you says to your servant, you know, well, it's been a long day for you. You've been out working in the field all day. Come on in here. I'll make you a supper. He says, no. He says, if you got a servant, he says, that servant comes in there. He's got to make you a meal. He's got to fix his food before you can have your food. He does this sort of thing. And he says, and that's the same way it is with you. He says, in the end, you simply say, we're unprofitable servants. We've simply done what we were told to do. And that's the point. The greatest distraction that comes in this world is this absurd form of holiness, which is Gnosticism. It's not God's holiness. It's something that we've invented, where we're going to make ourselves more holy before God. Well, good luck, Chuck. Let's see how that happens. There is no way that that happens. Because if you've already been cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ from all of your sin, what exactly are you fixing? That'd be nothing. Jesus says, quit staring at your belly buttons. All that's in there is some lint. Jesus told his disciples, look out at the world, it's ripe for harvest. He says, you need to understand, I did all the work, I did it all, I did all of it. All I'm asking you to do is to go out and tell people, just tell them, you tell them. You disciple them, you baptize them. You bring them to me, I will receive them. And he says, and you teach them what I have taught you. Because I'm with you forever. I am always with you. And I will always be with you. And you will always be with me. And faultless you will stand before the throne on the last day. And you will know that you are dressed in his righteousness, and the fullness of his grace will fill your heart for eternity. And we will know. As St. Paul says, even as we are known, when that takes place, then we will know. We'll no longer know in part. Now we'll know. We'll know. People always like to say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sit there and explore this thing. Why? You're already going to know it. You know, that's one of the stupidest things ever. I heard a guy on the radio once say, I'm going to go see Jupiter. For what? Jupiter's just a rock. That's all. When you get to heaven, Jupiter ain't going to be fantastic. Just a rock, a very large one. When you get to heaven, you're going to look into the face of your God. And you are not going to die. Because you are going to be holy in his sight, blameless. And you are going to see your Jesus, who laid down his life for you, restored, and yet bearing in his hands and his side the mark of his suffering. And by the Holy Spirit, you are going to recognize you have been filled with God, that God never did leave you. He couldn't, because he had joined himself to all of us for eternity. And he simply gave us the privilege, while we draw breath in this life, to be able to tell people out there, this is what Christianity really is. It's not a religion. It's a God who is a living God, a real God. A God who loves you so very greatly that he gave you everything and the best of everything that he had in order to save you. And he didn't ask a thing of you. He gave it freely. So happy Trinity Sunday. You are a child of the Most High God. And nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, because he has marked you out as his own in the water, and he has raised you to newness of life through his Son. So today we celebrate the supper. And you get the idea, I really like it. I would do it all the time. It is the most amazing thing. That God comes to us and feeds us and assures us, yep, you're mine. You're mine. Don't you forget it. You're mine. So today, you come. And you freely come. And you receive the body and blood of your Lord Jesus Christ to sustain you and to keep you until that day when you see him face to face. And you be happy, because that's quite an amazing gift. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious God, all the way from time before we can remember it, even when there was no time, and the time when there will be no more time, you have loved us. And you have demonstrated your love for us once and for all through the finished work of your Son, Jesus the Christ, and by water, the initial creation, the initial element. You have marked us out as your own, that we are indeed your own. And you have given us newness of life. You have recreated us in your Son. And Father, all you ask of us is to go and tell people that that's what you have done. You have done all the work to provide for them. You simply bid us to invite them, even as the parable says, to go out into every nook and cranny and to bring them all in. We pray, Father, that in this day, that we would not lose hope, but rather all the more, Father, we should be all the more hopeful that as the day dawns and we look upon it anew and we realize that your mercies are new every day, that so you have equipped us with the simple message of the gospel, that people may come to you and you will freely receive them. We pray, Father, that you would make us instant in your word, constant in the same. That, Father, that we would love your world in the same way that you love it. And we would give the Jesus that we have to the world. That your name would be hallowed and glorified for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.